Gildan Media, a division of Recorded Books, presents Your Perfect Presentation. Speak in front of any audience, anytime, anywhere, and never be nervous again. By Bill Hoogterp. Narrated by Patrick Lawler. Foreword. Who is this guy? That was my reaction when I first saw the reserved and mysterious Bill Hoogterp in action in June 2010. I had just become editor of Parade magazine and was in Washington, D.C. to introduce the very first Parade All-American service team to Vice President Joe Biden. Because Bill had played a role in helping to create the program and select the team, he was there at the Washington headquarters of Points of Light to congratulate the winners. I was told he was going to coach the kids on their big meet-and-greet. That afternoon, I learned that Bill was a co-founder of Cafe Mom as well as a leadership coach. But to be honest, I found it hard to pinpoint what exactly he did, never mind how he was going to prep so many kids in such a short amount of time. The service team was a group of 15 kids from all across America. What they had in common were clever, innovative ideas for changing their schools, their neighborhoods, and their country. Some of them were precocious and very capable of handling themselves around adults, but most were gawky, self-conscious, and feeling a bit lost in their surroundings. Bill sat in the middle of the room as the kids shuffled into chairs, looking a little out of place around the big conference table. We went around the room and introduced ourselves. The kids rambled on. Some of them barely got above a whisper. Others failed to make eye contact. They were kids, after all. But their ideas had so much potential, and the fact that they didn't quite know how to deliver them in a soundbite was heartbreaking. After a while, Bill adjourned the meeting and took the kids off to work with them for an hour. The next day, the service team arrived at the White House to make the presentations. A few of the girls ran into Elena Kagan, who was in the midst of Supreme Court confirmation preparations, in the ladies' room. It was a heady experience, with Vice President Biden there to salute the kids and their work, so it was hard to imagine the day getting any better. Then it did. When each child stood up to share what he or she had done, that child spoke with wit and clarity. All the children's voices were strong. They smiled. They told stories. They connected. It was as if Tinkerbell had flicked her wand and showered public speaking pixie dust on this crew. I looked around to find Bill to congratulate him on this miraculous transformation, but was told that he had left. Poof! He was gone. Luckily for me, Bill quickly reappeared in my life. He invited me to a seminar. And before I knew it, I was using a prop, modulating my voice, moving around the room, and getting over myself. As an editor at Time Incorporated, I had taken my share of public speaking and presentation courses, but I had never experienced anything like the lively, engaging, and fun afternoon that I spent with Bill and his merry band of coaches. That's when it dawned on me that Own the Room was not your average public speaking course. Sure, I had learned some surefire ways to connect with a crowd, but it was how I felt when I was doing it, alive, confident, and unembarrassed, that really stood out for me. I felt like myself in front of a crowd. I heard my voice. What a powerful moment to experience. What a magical thing to feel. Today, whenever I see anyone give a speech, I think of Bill. Did the person start with a question or a prop? How quickly are my filters going up? I now know that a good speaker can command both my head and my heart if that speaker uses the right techniques. And when the speaker is so-so, I wonder what Bill's coaches could do for him or her. I wish Bill's class could be a mandatory part of childhood and teacher education because of the power it unlocks in young minds. I know Bill's book will be a must-have reference for anyone who wants to be a better leader in any business. and I believe that own the room will be your ticket to own whatever room you're in. The fun starts now. Maggie Murphy, Editor-in-Chief, Parade. Preface. The concept of perfect is powerful, yet it is dangerous out of context. Context matters. Do you know what an IQ test is? Most of us do. But have you ever heard of a CQ test? A CQ test measures your creativity quotient. There is no agreed-upon CQ in the scientific sense, but the research produces some interesting insights. In one iteration, a CQ test was given to very young children, around 4 years old, and most of them scored very high. The same test given to 10-year-olds resulted in much lower scores. This was shocking to the researchers until they considered one key factor. What happens between the ages of 4 and 10? School. Before we go to school, questions can have many answers. If you color the tree orange, everyone thinks it's beautiful. No matter how you sing a song, everyone thinks it's cute. Then you go to school and learn that there is only one right answer to most questions. 1 + 1 = 2, and every other answer is wrong. C-A-T spells cat, and every other spelling is wrong. In math and in spelling, there usually is only one correct answer. But this lesson spills over into other aspects of our life. We grow up applying this lens to other areas. Wait a minute. If our religion is right, then all the other ones must be... If these faces on the magazine covers are beautiful, then the rest of us who don't look like that must be... If ours is a great country, then the other ones must be... The idea that there is only one right answer is the taproot of a dangerous mindset. And it's a false concept. It's just not true. There can be more than one right answer to certain life questions, and plenty of wrong answers, too. It makes sense for teachers to stress the importance of right answers for math and spelling because those subjects require precision. Great teachers, however, help students to understand, just as importantly, that there can be many right answers to most other questions. What's the point? Don't answer the wrong questions in life. If you can, look around or outside and see if you spot a tree. Now, answer this question quickly without thinking. Is that tree perfect? I have asked many people this question, and the knee-jerk reaction is almost always, no. So I ask, then should we cut it down? They say, of course not. Then should we fix it? Of course not. That's ridiculous. But you said it's not perfect. Is the tree perfect? Is not the right question. That is not how you evaluate a tree. What are some right or better questions for evaluating a tree? Is it alive? Is it growing? Does it bear fruit or give shade? Is it beautiful? These are all better questions for evaluating a tree. A lot of times people get stuck because they are trying to come up with the right answer to a wrong question. Don't answer the wrong questions in life. I want you to answer this next question again quickly and without thinking. Are you perfect? If you answered no, put your left hand out and gently spank it with your right. You fell into the trap. You answered a wrong question. You can't evaluate yourself or any person that way. We are not math equations or phonic products. How do you evaluate a person? Hint, we share a lot in common with trees. Are we alive? Are we growing? Are we bearing fruit? Are we beautiful? Okay, Bill, that's a nice philosophical discussion. Let's continue it over a favorite beverage. But what has this got to do with presentations? I have seen person after person get stuck on this concept of perfect. It's hard for you to move forward and grow because you are stuck on the setting that you are not good or perfect now. It's like trying to drive a Ferrari with the parking brake on. So many people let this concept hold back their power. Now, are your presentations perfect? Ah, you didn't fall into the trap this time. Nice. Your beauty and power are derived from making your presentations come to life and watching your ability grow. You can watch a tree all day, but can you ever actually see it grow? And yet they all do. So do we. Did I connect with my audience? Was I memorable? These are the right questions for evaluating your presentations, and they will help you to enjoy the process of reaching your own potential. Let's grow. You can just listen to the book, or you can create the conditions to blossom and be beautiful and confident. After all, you are perfect at being you. Part 1. How the stage works. The basic building blocks of theory for star speakers are understanding the brain, how filters, pictures, emotions, and mirror neurons work, converting nervousness into fun, getting over yourself, being memorable, eliminating weak language and developing strong language, harnessing feedback and video. Chapter 1. It's all about you when you are the audience. Tell me and I forget. Teach me and I remember. Involve me and I learn. Benjamin Franklin. Say the following words out loud. Softly. Quickly. Slowly. Energy. Now say them again. But this time, pronounce the word as the word. Harmonize the tone of your voice with the meaning of the word. If you are feeling Zen, become the word as you say it. Softly. Quickly. Slowly. Energy. I'm known among my friends and colleagues as Bill, who has a quirky ability to make anyone a better public speaker and presenter. I do this through a training system that I and others developed called Own the Room, registered trademark. Our system helps people find the star speaker that's hiding inside of them, and some pretty big and cool companies and a growing number of famous people and leaders from all walks of life have hired our coaches to do just that. Converting our system into book form was a challenge, because at Own the Room trainings, we're all about fun, games, drills, exercises, laughter, and constant practice and feedback, both from a live audience and through various video technologies. So if this book seems a little unusual to you as you hear it, and it will, it's because we want to recreate the transformative experience of a live training for you so that you can improve as quickly as our students do. Which returns us to our opening exercise. What did you notice? How did you feel experimenting with your voice? Modulating your voice is a super simple technique you can use to excite an audience. Most speakers will just get loud to convey their enthusiasm, and that can definitely help you excite your audience. But the secret to great speaking is to release yourself to your content. Let the words tell you how they should be delivered, and release your voice range into your content. If you and I were together in person, I would already have had you speaking on camera 3 or 4 times in the few minutes you've just spent listening to this book. And I promise you, you will be doing tons of exercises and skill-building drills, including videotaping yourself as you listen to the book. Still, I must warn you that the first few chapters are mostly theory. I couldn't help it. You need to build a foundation, a stage to stand on, in order to become a terrific presenter in your own style. If you'll stick with me through some theory, once you build your foundation, the skill building will move much faster. This book is about you. You are the central character here. You are the hero. You can be a good, very good, or even superstar speaker. How good you become depends on you. Can you do it just by listening to this book? Yes, but you have to make a choice. All heroes have to make choices. Have you seen the original Karate Kid movie? Daniel decides to perform the wax-on, wax-off task given him by Mr. Miyagi, and great things happen for him that would not have happened had he dismissed the instruction as unimportant or refused to do it. Make your choice a clear and conscious one. Take your right hand, raise it up high, and imagine that it is the top of a mountain, a symbol of you as an amazing speaker and presenter. Your potential. In any room, meeting, or conversation, you are awesome whenever you want to be, and people hang on your every word. Your right hand is where you want to go. Now, with your left hand, show how high up the mountain you are now. The very bottom is where you started. You have already made a lot of progress, but you want to get to your top. So, put your left hand at where you are now. The only way up the mountain is to climb, to step and stumble and to be breathless at times. There are no escalators on the mountain of life. When you are out of your comfort zone, that is when you are growing. We provide steps to make it easier and handrails to hold on to when you need them. But only you can put one foot in front of the other. The reward for all that work is how great you will feel and a skill that you will enjoy for life and that may enable you to help others more than you know. The path up the mountain involves many, many steps. These include the practice tasks and exercises in this book. Of course, you could just listen to the book and skip the exercises. And if you do, you'll find that at the end you have a much better understanding of various public speaking and communication dynamics. But you won't be much higher up the mountain. I have had the honor of training many amazing people, those who were nervous and now aren't, those who were verbose but now are powerfully concise, those from all walks of life who can now present confidently on almost any topic, but especially in their areas of expertise. It all starts with a simple choice. Your choice now, hero, is to say, I want to get there, and I will do some exercises, so give me the bunny trail, not too hard. Some of these exercises are serious and some are silly, but there is a method to the madness, and they work in concert to get you up higher quickly. Or you can say, I want the diamond trail, the hardest path. Whatever exercises you give me, I will do more. But first, let's have you take a step away from base camp with your first exercise and see if you actually do it. When you imagine the word begin in all caps, take a little cup or bottle of water in one hand and pour just a little of it into the other hand. Hold the water for a minute, trying not to spill any of it, while you think about why you want to be a great speaker. Let me repeat this, because how good a speaker you become depends on this unusual task. When you hear the word begin, pour a little water from one hand into the other and hold it for a minute, as long as you can, without spilling any. As you do this, think of why you want to be a great presenter. Come on, Bill, this is silly. Do you really expect me to do this? Okay, first of all, the goal is not to make you feel silly. If you feel silly, that is just a bonus for the universe. And if you are listening to this on a plane and someone sitting next to you thinks you're crazy, you get double bonus points. This is the first and arguably the most important test of the whole book. I want you to listen to the paragraphs describing the task as many times as you need to do to make sure you understand the exercise. Now, moment of truth. Ready? Begin. If you did the task, nice job. You are in attack learning mode with a fearless learner mindset. You took not only a big step, but a leap of faith. Let's get to work. If you didn't do the task, you are in passive listening mode. There's nothing wrong with that. It's the norm for how we listen to books, so that response is completely understandable. But if that's the case, I cannot unlock your potential. You might as well return the book for a refund or pass it on to someone else. I don't want to sound harsh, but your time is your most precious asset. You are generous with your time, but I am protective of it. The distinction between a passive setting and an attack setting matters. All great speakers were bad speakers at first. Ralph Waldo Emerson. 50 years ago, researchers at Stanford University conducted studies on delayed gratification, in which children were offered one marshmallow immediately, but a second marshmallow if they could wait for the scientist to leave the room and return 15 minutes later before eating the first one. These studies, known collectively as the marshmallow experiment, concluded that the children who were able to delay gratification had better outcomes in life based on a range of criteria. Just as in the marshmallow studies, your default setting can have an enormous impact on your life over time. I have trained a lot of great presenters in the world, from CEOs to celebrities, and it all starts with a choice. I need you, on purpose, to choose a setting for yourself for listening to this book. The way you choose that setting is by pouring the water. Passive means that you will rent some content knowledge and not gain much skill. Attack means that you will actively participate and watch yourself gradually develop a new set of powerful skills that you will enjoy for the rest of your life. If you didn't do the task before, get some water and do it now. Click into attack mode. Welcome to the fast lane, baby. Now, towel off. We'll wait. You are worth the wait. Now that you have toweled off, and for the rest of the book, I will be assuming that you're in attack mode and will perform the tasks. To quote the great and wise Yoda, there is only do and not do. My promise to you, and you can hear from testimonials how well our system works, is that there is nothing in this book that does not have a purpose. It will all make sense in the end. If, in the course of listening to this book, you skip an exercise or two, go back and do them. No excuses. What is the point of the water? After we've attended a meeting or a presentation, we forget most of what we just heard the minute we walk out. It slips from our minds like water through our fingers. People sometimes introduce me as an expert, but when it comes to communication, I'd say that we are all experts and all learners. And as learners, we cannot hold on to the water unless we have a vessel, a glass. For you to hold the lessons of this book, to truly learn them so that you can reach your maximum potential, the glass is action. The exercises represent that action, the glass in which you will hold the lessons that will transform you into a great speaker. The action deepens the learning and makes it last. Grab a pen and get ready to write on a separate sheet of paper. Go ahead and scribble a lot so the paper will look as if it was attacked. Now, think of all the meetings you have ever attended in your whole life.
all of the meetings of your whole life. Whatever the purpose and whoever was running the meetings, you were in the room. If you added them all up and averaged them together, how would you rank their efficiency? Using a scale from 0 to 100, where 100 indicates that every minute of every one of those meetings brought us to nirvana and solved all the world's problems, and 0 means that every minute was a complete waste of time, rate those meetings. Be brutally honest. Now write that number down. At the in-person Own the Room trainings we do around the world, we always start with this question about meeting efficiency. Can you guess our worldwide average? It's 37%. So there was 63% inefficiency. If you got home from work tonight and discovered that 37% of the water from your kitchen faucet was coming out the right way, but 63% was spraying all over the place, what would you do? If you are handy, you'd get out your toolbox and fix it. Those of us who can barely change a light bulb, like me, would call a plumber. If you went to bed with $100 in your wallet, but found that you had only $37 left when you woke up, what would you be? Married. Just kidding. If 63% of your work profits were being wasted with no obvious benefit, would that be acceptable to you? So why do you tolerate 63% of your time being wasted? In our in-person trainings, we spend very little time listening to lectures or in classroom-type instruction. We spend almost no time reading. There's a tip or a technique, and then a quick practice. We do an exercise on camera and play it back. Another tip, and then more practice. A game and some laughter. We are replicating that process here to deliver the same learning experience through this book. So, has the knowledge that 63% of your time is being wasted motivated you to commit to improving your communication skills? Great! Now that we've got you committed, let's talk about you. Using your fingers, answer the following three questions. 1. How much do you like speaking in public? On a scale of 0 to 10, with 10 meaning, "That is my favorite thing in the world. How did you know?" And 0 meaning, "Yuck, I hate speaking to groups, especially big ones." Show me with your fingers how much you enjoy public speaking. Put up your fingers. Now write that number down. If your number is high, excellent. You already know how it feels to make a group laugh, feel, learn, or grow. You are about to like it even more. If your number is low, that's even better. You are normal. A British magazine did a survey of Americans' fears, and guess what our number one fear was? You guessed it. Public speaking. Know what was number two? Death. Yes, I am sure spiders was on there somewhere, but death was number two. We are more afraid of speaking in public than we are of dying. The great comedian Jerry Seinfeld makes the best joke about this. He says, "Does that seem right? That means when we go to the funeral, we would rather be the one lying in the box than the one delivering the eulogy." Okay, next question. 2. How good are you now? Using your fingers and the same 0 to 10 scale as before, if you were to rate your current communication skills, how good would you say you are now? For this question, I want you to think of all your communications, how you perform in front of small groups, in front of big groups, and even one-on-one, and average them. A score of 10 means that you are better than Bill Clinton and Ronald Reagan combined. 0 means that you can't communicate at all, to anyone, and you don't really get what's so funny about the Seinfeld joke. It's hard to be objective about ourselves. How good am I, really? Put up your fingers. Now, go ahead and write the number down.
Now that you've assessed both your fears and your abilities as a speaker, it's time to assess your goals. 3.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?